It's budget time. We've talked about how with the elections in November now, there's not so sharp a learning curve for newer members of council, but still there's a lot of numbers to go through, and it looks like the revenues are headed up. Kind of give me an overview of the challenges you think you are going to have as far as looking at this budget.
Well, budget, that will always be a challenge for me. I am not a number cruncher, and I have to look at where we're talking about the budget information going. So for me, the idea is, yes, growth. We've had growth. We're seeing increases in sales tax and property tax, but with those come challenges, too. We have to finance the growth through infrastructure, and that's part of our budget, and we have to be sure that we maintain a competitive structure with our city workers. Right now, I think we have an absolutely fantastic city staff, and I want to be sure that we do what we can to support that because we depend on them to bring this forward. So we've made some cutbacks in budget in the past, and we have some opportunity now to put some of these things back in place. And I will be supporting what I've always supported, which is core infrastructure and looking at transportation needs, looking at neighborhood integrity. Those are the areas, and we've talked about, for instance, with neighborhood integrity, where we've committed to increasing code enforcement. That will be part of the budget. I don't know what size or anything at this point, but I'll be supporting the same issues that I've always supported.
Sure, and you do. You mentioned that those core issues are important. It's a lot more fun to add jobs than to cut jobs, but doing that in the right places is important as you start doing that backfill, if you will. I know city manager was in a couple of weeks ago discussing really that the cost of labor itself is going up because now we're starting to see some oil patch activity here that we hadn't seen. Well, that just generally causes a whole lot of people to leave positions they maybe not necessarily in the city, but it causes you to have to look at maybe having to hire people at a greater expense than you would have maybe even 5 years ago.
Well, that is true. Coming from East Texas, though, I know that the oil industry doesn't always go up.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
It at times goes down. So what we're committed to is sustainable growth. And if this is part of that for now, that's good. But I think we have to keep our target on providing jobs that are good for the community and sustainable in the sense that it's the kind of growth we want to see. And it will actually provide jobs that will keep professionals here, that we're located. We are part of a university community. We have wonderful opportunities in that. But we can't just say we want more PhD jobs because these jobs filter down and they require people at all different levels, whether you're in research or at the university or wherever. And we have more restaurants coming on stream. We have workers there. All of the things that go with growth.
Sure. Blanche Brick joining us this morning. So, needing more things done, things are going to cost more money. I don't know that there's an elected official out there, certainly in Texas, that would want to raise taxes, but it would appear that now is the time to discuss the effective tax rate. Things cost more than they used to. Tell me your stand as one member of council on what might need to be done there.
Well, I think that last year my stand was really to maintain that I would have voted to maintain the current tax rate, but that wasn't the overall decision. I would do the same this time and look at what might have to be added because we have not maintained the current tax rate over the last few budget cycles. And we know that we're a little bit behind on that. You're right, nobody wants to run on a tax increase. But we do know that while growth brings many good things, it also brings cost.
Sure.
And we have to keep up or we will not see the kind of growth we want.
Yeah. Well, it concerns me because property values are going up. That means you get hit on the county level as well. And to come back around behind is a difficult thing. But again, if you are going to want a level of quality of life, I suppose it's going to come at a higher cost.
I don't see any other way.
Yeah. Not fun to talk about. there's a pretty good pile of money out there in the hotel motel tax, the hot money. I'd like to kind of get Blanche Brick's list of things that, if you had the magic wand to decide where that hot money went.
Well, you know, the hot tax money is pretty well directed by guidelines that are in place. And we have tried to establish a very good way for people to apply for the hot tax money. And we use the Convention Visitors Bureau, the Arts Council. We work through these agencies to help us direct the spending. And I'm in favor of doing that. I think rather than the council working directly and saying, I want this dollar spent here. We've spent a lot of money to attract athletic events to the city. I think we also need to support the arts in attracting events that will bring people to the city. But I don't mean to say that I'm not going to answer that question, because my answer is really that I favor following the guidelines that we now have and using the people that we have in place to implement these guidelines. I have some confidence in. So that's where I'm going to look.
There'd be other members of council who might think there's some missed opportunities from lack of certain facilities. You fall into that category? Now, are there any facilities you feel like we need to look at?
Well, I do feel we definitely need a conference center, but I don't think that's going to be covered by hot tax. Mm-hmm. That's not the way I've understood it, anyway, that it can be covered. So I think that we are in a period right now where we've seen some very definite commitments to growth. Chimney Hill Project, A&M is talking about the Century Plaza Project. I think we're going to have to see exactly how those work in the community to know what we need in addition. But I know that on a neighborhood level or a community level, we do need a conference center to replace the one that we no longer have.
And when we're saying that, are we saying conference center for that being a facility for seniors, or would you say that it's something beyond that?
Well, hopefully it'd be a conference center for the whole community. Seniors seem to have a pretty good program going right now and using it, using whatever facilities we have. But if you have it, I think you'll see other groups. We saw many other groups use in the previous conference center as well.
Sure. Blanche Brick joining us this morning. Anything on your radar screen, important things that you'd like to talk about?
Well, yes. We have just completed, we're in the process right now, I should say, of completing the comprehensive plan 5-year review. We've had a committee made up of 3 council members and 3 from the planning and zoning that have been meeting over the past spring and all. And hopefully this committee report will be brought to the council in September. This is just an attempt to update, to review the current comprehensive plan, see if growth has changed certain factors or we've lost something or gained something that we need to adjust to. We had a meeting yesterday with the Home Builders Association and had them look at the report as it's now going forward. And we plan to have a meeting with the Homeowners Association representatives on July the 28th, and neighborhood association representatives, some neighborhoods not having homeowners group, but we will have a seminar supper on July the 28th devoted to getting responses from that group and then putting the two together. And I must say that the staff from planning and development have just done an amazing job, I think, of pulling together we had an open meeting with citizens from the community, asking them what they thought, where were we doing right, where were we doing things that weren't so right, where did they want to see improvement. And we had a good turnout, and they've done a wonderful job of bringing all of those suggestions and comments together. And then the committee has worked through refining this, and I think we're bringing forward a balanced review, and one that I hope the citizens in the community will take the opportunity to look at carefully, because it really states what kind of community we want College Station to be.
The So you met with the home builders yesterday. Kind of give me an overview of what their concerns were.
Well, they had only received the report the day before because the committee had only completed it.
Wow, okay.
So that was one concern, obviously. Yeah. But it was stressed that they would have opportunities to give feedback through the coming next week or two weeks anyway, and that these would be taken into account. Obviously, they were concerned with where there is land for development and what changes, if any, would be used in how this land use would be offered. And they will be giving their feedback on that to us.
Now, in this plan, do we go down into the minutia of setbacks and easements and things like that?
No. It's a plan that even I can understand. it's not at the plat level.
Okay,
it's,
all right. Okay.
It's not there. But it is a general overview of this is how we take our mission. As if you look at the mission statement of College Station, it is to promote the quality of life mm-hmm. in the community. And then under that, we have a vision statement, and they've incorporated that into the comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. And I think if people would take the time to read the vision statement, they would be very impressed with what's there. Now, obviously, the devil is always in the details. And the further down we go, the more difficult it becomes to make everybody's vision.
Is that on the website?
Fit. The comprehensive plan review, I don't believe, is yet on the website, but it will be.
Okay.
They're giving it to these groups to look at so we get feedback.
Sure. And then by the 28th, it'll be on there.
That sort of thing.
Gotcha. When I talk to Bill Flores, because he's in the oil business, I like to go off into that. You have a real job other than being on council, and that is that you're on the faculty at Blinn. This has been an amazing growth that this school has gone through. How do you take a school that I don't know what the enrollment was 5 years ago, but this year we're talking about 14,000 students. I mean, what are the challenges that you're going to be facing?
Talking about in Bryan.
Yeah, right. What
are the challenges? I've only heard 13, but
okay, well, yeah.
Maybe it's 14 now. Who knows?
Yeah. What are the challenges that you have as you try to prepare in such a fast-growing environment?
Well, it's obvious that any kind of growth brings its challenges. And to maintain quality, in my mind, is the first challenge that you have. But it's not a challenge just unique to Blinn. It's throughout the educational community, not just in Texas, but nationwide. The idea that education is growing, there's a lot of money now politically being put into education. So it's becoming something that's more attractive to people who understand the money better than they do the educational mission. And I think that, to me, is one of the big challenges.
Well, and I guess what we're talking about here is a situation where a student gets out and they can't afford to pay their student loan back, or they don't have a marketable right. job, and then it makes it difficult for them 5-10 years down the road.
Well, I think it's always it is a very difficult problem. Education has been sold as the answer. You get a degree and you make X more money. That's not always the case. People who do get degrees, many do make X more money. Many we know don't. We've heard of the cab drivers and all of that. And to me, that should never be the driving motive of education. It should be improvement of one's life and the opportunity to lead a richer, fuller a life that contributes more to the community. And then if the dollars follow, well, fine, good. But unfortunately, it's been sold as you have to have so many degrees out there to say you've really met the challenges of the desire for more money.
Yeah, I understand.
And so we've kind of got the cart before the horse, and I think that it's a very concerning time for me. I mean, Blinn had grown by 31% over the last period since 2006. We had a high transfer rate to Texas A&M. We had a high completion rate of those who transferred. It was either as high or higher than those who began as freshmen.
Okay.
So obviously we were doing a lot of things right. And I think development of the team program, we obviously developed a program there that has been a role model for other universities trying to put it in place. Part of that obviously came from the fact of the close proximity and the fact that so many people at Blinn had been at A&M, though we had a working relationship there that some other places might not have. But so it wasn't that Blinn wasn't growing. We've always been growing. But on the whole, and this is just my personal view of growth, and it comes from my view as a faculty member, that education has to have as its priority the educational mission. And we need people who can manage, as it gets bigger, manage the facilities, manage the business side of things, but that doesn't need to be driving the institution. And it's difficult for that not to happen because money becomes the driving factor.
With everything, right?
With most things.
You stand for re-election. You're going to take another run at it?
Well, as of today, I'm thinking that's going to be the case, yes. Okay. I'm planning to do that. I've given this a lot of thought. The three-year commitment is quite a lengthy term to commit to, and I know there are many people in the community who would do well serving, and I hope that they will look at what's going on, too, and offer their views and services to it. As I said, I do plan to at this point, but it will be to maintain the same values that I've tried to support in the first term, and that's neighborhood integrity and trying to support core services. And I've also tried very much, and I said this when I came into office, to support community partnerships, and that means with Texas A&M, with the county, Brazos County, with Bryan. I think that we have improved on that and are working together well, as we'll always have boundary points and things that come up. But that's been a big interest of mine.
All right. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you.
Yep. That's Blanche Brick from the College Station City Council. What else you got?
Well, to piggyback on what the councilwoman just said, there will be three council seats up for election in November. And so if anybody would like to file to be a candidate for College Station City Council, that process actually begins this weekend. So you could take care of that. Filing period goes through August 18th. If you'd like to know more, visit cstx.gov/elections.
Be the first on your block. All right. Thanks for the time this morning. We visit with folks from College Station on Fridays.